hopeless situation. Who saw mankind couldn't pay for his own salvation? Who knew the only way it could be done? Who saw how desperate things had become? No soul on earth knew the answer, but he did. Who gave up his throne at the right hand of God up in heaven? Who came down to earth and walked among the humble and poor? Who suffered at the hands of the ones he would save? Who carried that cross of Golgotha that day? And who felt the nails in his hands and his feet? He did. You might not have known that your soul was in need of salvation. And you might not have known why he had to die on that cross. You might not have known there was no other way he could save you from your sins. But he did. Mary asked of the angel, did Jesus arise?
He did.
And the angels asked God, is it over? Did he pay the price?
He did.
Satan approached God and said, I've won again. Who gave you the right to forgive mankind's sins? God turned to his son, now standing at his right hand. Said he did. Oh, you might not have known that your soul was in need of salvation. And you might not have known why he had to die on that cross. You might not have known there was no other way he could save you from your sins. Just five little letters that I love to sing. It's two little words that would change everything. He did, he did, he did. I'm so glad my Jesus did. Hallelujah.
If you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter this morning, to what I feel that the Lord has laid upon our heart for this service. You know, it's important that we invite people to come to the house of the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Dave, what if I invite them and they don't come? Then the blood's off your hands. But if you don't, the blood's on your hands. Amen? And what transpires is when the word of God comes, if they hear to receive it and they act upon it, it could mean salvation to their soul. If you invite them and they don't come and God has the word that they should have been here to hear, and judgment, God will remind them. They say, well, I didn't know. Remember that person inviting you to church? Yeah, they won't be able to deny it. It'll be in front of them. And yeah, I do. Well, that particular service, I had that word sent to you that you would have known, but you didn't come and get it. Amen? And that's exactly the way it is. That's why it's important. Now, if you don't invite them, when God lays upon your heart to invite people, he said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. When we don't do that, then the blood's on our hand. God will look at us and say, their blood is on your hand because you did not tell them. Amen? So when God lays something on your heart, you better do it. Amen. Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter, in verse number 26. He says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. God, we thank you for the word, Lord, that you have sent unto us and to all those, Lord, that was invited to come today. Lord, they will be without excuse. Father, for all those, Lord, that you had planned or tried to lead them this direction this morning, hear this word, yet they did not come. But Father, I thank you for those who obeyed and come this way. Now, Father, I ask today that we would each one individually look at our lives. Look at our souls today. Lord, we are standing in the balances. Lord, as Belshazzar stood and was weighed in the balances and he was found wanting, help us, Lord, today as the word weighs us out and measures our life. God, that we would find where we stand with you and with where we stand with eternity. God, that you be glorified in our lives. We'd all make the right decision before leaving here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, he said in verse 26, he says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A lot of people selling out for far less than the whole world, aren't they? Amen. But he said, what if you could gain the whole world? In other words, if you own the whole world and everything in it was yours and you had a deed to it. Everybody, nobody else had anything. You had it all and you lost your soul. What good did it do? Amen. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul to keep it from going into hell? Amen. He parallels that in a couple of Gospels, Luke and Mark. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 9th chapter, in verse 25, he says, for what is a man advantaged or benefited, is what that word means. What is a man benefited if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What is he benefited by all that he worked and toiled and sweat and scraped and scratched and done? If he loses his soul, what good was this life? What good was all that we acquired if we lose our soul? What good is all these possessions that we all work so hard for and we put so much emphasis on everything? But the very thing that we should be putting the most emphasis on. Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter in verse 36, he parallels it and he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can we give in exchange for our souls? You know, this flesh is going to go back to dust. And I preached here a while back about what this flesh means. It means mud. And we put so much emphasis on making mud look pretty, you know. And people, you know, they just spend all kind of money and all kind of time trying to make this mud look good. And this mud is going to go back to mud, dust. It's going back to dirt. But we spend so little time with our soul. That's the one that's peeping through these windows at one another. That is the you. That's who we really are. Our being. And our soul, we, us, are going to live forever somewhere, and we put so little emphasis on that man and we put so much emphasis on the outer man that's going back to dust. Now, I have here in my pocket a $100 bill. And if I were to say to you this morning, Betty's smiling big now, I'll take it. That's the way you get it, is take it. If I were to say to you this morning, how would you like this $100 bill? How many would take it here this morning? All right. Well, what if I took this $100 bill and did this to it? And scrub it on the ground. How many would want it then? Y'all would still want it? Wow. Well, what if I took and found the trash can back there and threw it all in the trash can, and who knows what's in that trash can, and just rub it all in there, and who would still want it then? Well, what if I took and poured, you know, drugs on it or alcohol on it? Who would still want it then? Some of you would want it, a few of you. A lot of you still want it. Why would you still want it? Because it has value. And that's what our soul is. A soul has value. It doesn't matter if it's crisp, clean soul that seemingly has always been good. That soul has a value, but that soul that's down in the gutter, it's down on its luck, and it's down, done all kind of sin and vile and evil, that soul has just as much value in the eyes of God as the one that has never. It does not matter who we are, we still have a value about us. And we put so little emphasis on our soul, and the soul has so much value that Jesus would lay aside his glory in heaven and come down and hold up his hands, like Sister Connie said, and they nail him to a cross because he knows the value of our souls. Yet we don't know the value of our souls. He knew and he understood eternity and how long it is, and we don't understand it. We think it will pass too. And we think we all in the world, in the church world especially, we think, well, we're going to be all right because we go to church. I went to church once upon a time. No. We need to make sure. What does a man gain if he gained the whole world? What's he benefited if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He says in Psalms, let me go and read this. He said, our souls are worth more than all this world together. Amen. Our souls are worth more than all the world, all the wealth, all the pleasures of this present time. Our soul is worth more than all that. Amen. He said in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, he tells us about Moses. In verse 23, he says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. There's a lot of people that are out there and they're following the lust of the flesh and the pleasures of this world and whatever. I'm talking about church people. They're following the things that feels good to the flesh rather than their soul. Their soul is more important than any flesh or things that we can do in this world. What if we gained everything that the world is throwing at you and you get it all and you lose your soul? What good was that? It says in Psalms in the 49th chapter in verse 6, it says, they that trust in wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. We can't even ransom. I mean, if we had the whole world, he would say, Lord said, we want to give you this whole world for our soul. You know what God said? That world belongs to me. I created everything. I created everything you see. It all belongs to God. It's like the rancher said one time, he went to church and the preacher said, everything belonged to God. And God give you everything that you have. He carried him home to Sunday dinner and they had a big feast there in their big home. And afterwards they walked around and he said, preacher, I want you to look at that big nice house there. How you like it? He said, I like it, sir. Said, what about my big barns? I got all these big nice barns. And said, look at the fields. As far as you can see, it's cattle. and said, preacher said, I started with one little calf, and I raised that calf, and I sold that calf, and I bought me two calves. And from that, I acquired all this. And you told me this morning in church that God gave me all that. Preacher, I did that myself. This all belongs to me. You say it belongs to God. Preacher just looked back at him and said, ask me that 100 years from now. Come on, friends. We're not going to be here forever. We just temporarily skip down here, and we're going to take off from, I'll fly away one of these days, amen? And I'm telling you, I preached a lot of funerals. I've never seen an armored car behind any hearse. Come on. What can you give in exchange for your soul? He says, none of them, verse 7, can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Once a soul is gone, it can't be bought. Dollars can't be changed. My friend, once a tree falls, that's where it lays. The Catholic Church made bukus of money at one time, fooling people and telling them, hey, we can pray if you'll pay. We can pray your people out of purgatory, pray them into heaven. And a lot of people would take and give them money to pray that they would be allowed to go into heaven. My friend, it doesn't work that way. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you got to do it while you're still confessing. Right now. Now's the time. He says in Matthew 16 and 21, he says, from that time... forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. What did he call Peter? Satan. Thou art an what? Offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Let me tell you something. Jesus chose Peter as one of his disciples, but if Peter was going to be a case of hindrance to him, he said, Peter, you get behind me. Amen. Peter was his friend, but if he was going to be a friend that would hinder him from the things of God, he said, Peter, you're going to have to get behind me. And I ask you this morning, what is it in your life that is a hindrance to you that you're holding on to that you should say, get thee behind me, for you're a hindrance to me in the things of God. Amen. You're an offense to me, he says. Look at the one next to you and ask him, what is hindering you? And that's telling him you better get rid of it. He said, you're an offense. To offend means to entrap. He said, Peter, you're trying to entrap me. You're trying to entice me. That's what offend means, to entice. There's a lot of people that's offended this morning. In other words, they are enticed with the things of this world, are they not? It means to trip up, stumble, to hinder, to apostasy. Offense, it means to cause of displease or sin. Amen. Whatever it is that's causing us to hindering in the things of God or to sin or have displeasure, God displeased at what our lives are, we need to get rid of it. Get thee behind me. Amen. Get thee behind me. Recognize it for what it is. Amen. Jesus knew what it's coming from. He said, get rid of it. Look at the one next to you. He said, you got to get rid of it. Did not Jesus say, if your eye offend thee, what did he say? Pluck it out. If your hand offends you or your foot offends you, what did he say? Cut it off. Why? He said it's better to go into life maimed, if you will, than to go into hell having all the members. My goodness. People are like monkeys. You know how they catch monkeys? They drill a little bitty hole in a box just enough that he can do his hand like that and get his hand in and get that piece of fruit. And he gets his hand on that piece of fruit. And then while he's got his hand in that box on that piece of fruit, they run up and they grab him, throw a net over him. Well, say, won't he just let go of the fruit and get out? Because he's too much like us. Huh? He loses his life because he won't let go. Sad, isn't it? Wow. Been a lot of Sunday school teachers sold out. Been a lot of preachers sold out. Been a lot of good church people sold out. Because they gotta have it. Those of you taking notes, that's about the eye and the hand and foot. Matthew 18th chapter, 8 and 9, you'll see it. What is offending you? What is hindering you? Better get rid of it. Amen. It says in verse number 24 of the 16th chapter, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, what's that word? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We all have a cross to bear. That's why I told you this morning, there's some people that you needed to invite to church. There's some people that you need to witness to. You say, Brother Dave, I'm not in a position to witness to people. Well, get saved. Come on. My goodness. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So he says, if any man will come after me, he's going to have to deny himself. In other words, we need to be so far from pleasing or sparing ourselves that we must deny ourselves. Deny, what does that mean? Refuse. When's the last time you refused yourself something? Oh, wait a minute, we'll pitch us a fit if I got to be refused. No. Amen? That's what he said. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, refuse himself. It means disown himself. It means abstain from himself. It means to contradict ourselves. That's what Jesus said. In other words, we as followers of Christ should be a continued act of self-denial. Boy, we live in a day's time now where we don't want to be denied nothing, do we? Amen? We got to have it. When? Yesterday. Amen? Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Amen? So we can't serve ourselves and God. We're going to have to either serve God or serve ourselves. We can't serve both. Amen? So he says we have to deny ourselves, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus did. He denied himself and he took up his cross and he did what he sent here to do. And we're to deny ourselves, amen, and take up our cross and follow the Lord, amen. Our life ought to be a life of self-emptying. Everybody say self-emptying. We ought to be self-emptying because the way is what? The straight, the gate is what? Straight and the narrow, and the way is what? Narrow. Amen. We're going through this straight gate and a narrow way. So we got to self-empty to be able to fit through that little narrow way. I remember one time I preached a message and I had some of y'all might remember it. I had some 2x4s up here and I had a sign over at the Broadway and it was real wide, almost like football goals, you know. And I had some bags of all kind of things filled up and had it wrote on the bag and stuff that we all got to think we got to have, you know. And we tried to go through this Broadway and look here, it fit. We could have everything piled on us, big old bags. Everything was just full of ourself. And you could get through the Broadway that many go through. And over here I had the straight gate and the narrow way. It was two x4s nailed up here. And across I had the narrow way and it was real skinny. And I tried to go through that straight way with all these bags. But it wouldn't fit. I had to self-empty. I had to deny myself. And my friend, I could get through this narrow way. Amen. That few there be that find it. Who are we this morning? He says in Philippians in the second chapter in verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Few people have this mind today, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a what? Servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You might not this life get on your knees and humble yourself and deny yourself, amen, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But let me tell you, there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it'll be too late then. You know, death has a way of denying ourselves. Amen? We leave all that stuff behind, don't we? In fact, I've seen people on their deathbed, and I've seen people, you know, when they, you know, bat off sick or something, they could care less about the things on this earth. They want to make sure they're right with God. Amen? They could care less about, you know, things they got to do next week. They could care less about they needed to spend more time, you know, in this deal, you know, or, I mean, all these things just all of a sudden loses its appeal. Amen? I remember a few years back, they told me they had cancer. I mean, all of a sudden, everything that I ever worked for just didn't seem to have any taste to it anymore. I mean, those worldly, earthly things is nothing. Our soul is what's important, amen? Our soul is what's important. That's what's going to live forever. It's not in all the relationships that we have or don't have. It's not in all the things that we can acquire, things we're so busy looking for every day. But it's what we can do with God, with our soul, the time that we got upon this earth. Who can we make a difference in their life? How can we witness to this one? How can we change them? That's what it's all about. You see, in Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter, there was two sisters, and one of them, Martha, was so cumbered and careful about many things that she thought was important. Some of us in this building this morning, there's some things that's so important that we can't even make it all the services because they're so important. I guarantee you, if you was on your dying bed, they wouldn't be important. Amen. There's too many people today, even today, that is too busy to come to church today. I'm not just here, anywhere. The weather's too nice. God, you just give them too pretty of a day. What, I should have let it rain? Well, then they say the weather's too bad to get out in. Huh? It's too hot or too cold. It's kind of like the three bears, you know, getting Papa Bear's bed, and you know, it's too big, mama's too soft, baby's just right, you know, the pottage, you know, too hot, too cold, just right. When people finally find a church that's just right for them, what happened to Goldilocks? She went to sleep. Oh, that's a message. We could get us a message on that one. Once you find a church that was too hot, that was too cold, whatever what it was. I can't even remember the nursery rhyme. That's a nursery rhyme. Was it too cold? Well, I think it was too cold, was it? Too cold? Too hot, too cold. And too what? Okay, too hard, too soft. All right. I see that I'm preaching to a bunch of nursery people today. They're trying to correct me on this little nursery rhyme. But I found me one is just right. I feel no conviction of it. Martha was so cumbered and careful about many things she thought was important. She comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, look at me. I'm having to do all this stuff, and look at Mary sitting over there doing nothing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet, feeding her soul. Cares not about me. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away her. Said, Martha, all these things, they're going to vanish with the wind. They're going to be gone with the wind. Amen. Which are you today? Are you Martha or Mary? You're one of them. You're either Martha or you're Mary today. In Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Verse 26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is what is this few days in this life if you end up in hell forever? What is it? What good is this few days of you know, some people say, I'm just going out and I'm going to just have a life. Well, if you ain't going to serve God, that's the best thing to do, because that's the only time you're going to have. You better get it in. If you want to go serve God, I won't be wasting my time in church this morning. If you're on no way to hell, I wouldn't sit here this morning. You ain't got no plans of changing. Because it said in Luke's Gospel in the 16th chapter, he said, you remember, he said, once upon a time, there was a rich man. That sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? That's not what Jesus said. He said, there was a rich man. There was. In fact, this morning, he's still in hell and he's still screaming and he's still wanting Lazarus to drop a little water on his tongue. He's still there. He's still there. There was a rich man. In fact, he said in verse number 23, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. I believe that man would have given everything on this earth that he acquired for just one little drop of water. One little drop. He said, I don't need a glass full, just a drop. He didn't get it. He's still wanting it after all these 2,000 years. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. In other words, you did it your way. That's what he's saying. Remember, in your lifetime, you did what you wanted to do. You was led by the flesh. You did what felt good, what you wanted, your own thing. I did it my way. Nobody going to tell me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't see it in there like you see it. Brother David, I'm going to do it my way. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. What's evil things? That means to deprive. Lazarus deprived. You see, to the world, Christians look like this beggar. Amen? Think about it. To the world, we look like Lazarus. Y'all deprive yourselves. Y'all deny yourselves. Y'all contradict yourself. You go against what you really should be doing in this world that's got everything and you can have fun. And you contradict yourself. You deprive yourself. And to the world we look like Lazarus, who was a beggar. But I ask you, in this story I just read, who is begging? The rich man for eternity becomes a beggar. Amen? He becomes the beggar. See, Satan will draw you this picture. And, oh, you gotta have this. And, you know, don't be like them. They're just, they're old fogies. And, you know, you need to just don't listen to them church, them Christian people. They just deprive themselves. They're dumb. They're stupid. Just whatever feels good, do it. They ain't nothing but beggars. They're like beggars. Beggars, someone depriving themselves. But the rich man who did it his way has now become the beggar. Please, please, just a drop of water. Just a little drop of water. What does a man gain if he gained the whole world, lose his soul? What's it benefited? Jesus said it better for that man never to have been born. Never to have been born. Amen. He said, Brother Dave, we're all might be right in here this morning. I done told you this message may be for the one that didn't come today. But I got to preach it because in judgment this message will come back. And if you never accept the Lord, this message will come back to you. If you're doing it your way and you're doing what you want to do and you got your own mind, you're going to do things you want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. It's coming back. A judgment. I'm nothing more than that speaker up there on that wall. I ain't nothing. Amen. You know that rich man would give all that he acquired in this world for that little drop. If he had it this morning, he would have given it. Amen. He said, well, go tell my brothers in this horrible place. Go tell them, said Lazarus. He said, no, they wouldn't hear. Oh, no, if Lazarus come back from the dead, they'll hear something rose from the dead. He said, no, they wouldn't though one rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and they won't believe him. He said, they have Moses and probably they got a Whitfield up there in Jedburgh hollering. If they won't believe him, they won't believe anything else. I heard a fellow say one time, if I'd see a miracle, I'd believe. I said, no, you wouldn't. Faith is what turns you into believing. Amen. That won't work. Job in the 27th chapter in verse 8, it says, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he had gained when God taketh away his soul. What hope is that? I mean, he gained all that he had and then his soul was taken and everything left behind. And there he is, just the soul. That's who we are. That's who we are. It says in Matthew's gospel in the 4th chapter in verse 8, he says, again, the devil taketh him up. Talking about Jesus when he was tempted there, the devil. In the beginning of his ministry. And the devil taketh him up into a exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus did not do it, but many have fallen for his tricks. Many have fallen for his tricks. Amen. Because he tells us in Hebrews in the 4th chapter verse 15, he says he was in all points tempted, Jesus, tempted like as we, yet without sin. He didn't fall for one of his tricks. And here Satan offering and Jesus didn't fall for it, but many after Christ has fallen for his tactics, amen? And Jesus just simply said, get thee behind me, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. In other words, we're not to have any other gods. Amen. Nothing ahead of pleasing God. There should be nothing in our life that comes ahead of God. God's got to be first and foremost in our life, friends. Are we not going to make it? I don't care. I don't care who we are. I don't care if you come to the church. Every time the church door is open, if God's not number one and first in your life, you're not going to make it. I don't care how good of a person you think you are or how good you think you're saved. If God is not number one in your life and everything else that revolve around that, we're not going. We've broken one of the first commandments. No other gods. But we allow things to hinder us. Get thee behind me. I've got to do better. Amen. Ain't got much more. Listen, Luke in the 12th chapter and verse 16 is the story. You know the story of the man with six eyes. He says, Jesus spoke this parable. Said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? There's one eye. Because I have no room. When you get to talking to people and they start using that eye thing a lot, you better watch them people. They fleshly as can be. Huh? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will build, pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See, there's a lot of people that's got these retirement plans. They're about to retire. I've heard of people that retired and within a week or two they're dead. Worked all their life, got this big fat retirement, got a bunch of money in 401ks and Roth and savings plans and all kind of, you know, stock markets, and boy, we're gonna have a time. And all that hard work and never went to church, never thought nothing about God. What good was it? If we don't put God number one, what good is this life? But God said unto him, thy fool. Brother Dave, I thought the Bible said to call on my fool. I just talked about that Wednesday night, didn't I? Y'all should have been here. This night, when you call somebody a fool because you're helping them, it's all right. But if you call them mocking them, it's different. Jesus said, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Not rich in the things of God. And lastly, he said in Proverbs in the 14th chapter, verse 1, he says, the fool hath said in his heart. That there is, right there, is added for better readability. But it reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God, I don't want you. He said, you become a fool. Look up a word of fool. The fool has said in his heart is, I don't want you, God. I don't want you. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live and eat and drink and be merry. I got it for many years. But he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? What's the value of your soul? How much is your soul worth to you? What's it worth to you to go to heaven and not hell? I wonder how many churches in Somerville is preaching hell this morning. Great God. Lord, I don't know. They're probably saying, what about them old churches that's preaching hell this morning? They don't know what they're doing. They need to be just preaching. Feel good, do it. Where do you stand with eternity? I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think back over this past week. Have you put God first in your life? Or has other things come ahead of God? He said, Brother David, I hate coming here because you make me feel bad every time I come. Would I? just don't come. I don't know anything else to tell you. Or either get up and repent and change your ways. You know where you stand with God this morning. I'm not preaching to condemn you. I'm preaching that we all can make it to heaven. What is a man profited? What do we benefit if we gain the whole world? Get all our desires of this world stuff. You know, I mean, look, if we put God first, he said in Matthew 6:33, if we put God first, he's going to add all these things to us. We become blessed because we put him first. Our life is going to be so much more blessed than all the stuff we're digging and scratching and trying to get to. We can enter into his rest and put him first. And it's like my dad said, when you put God first, your shoes seem to last a little bit longer, and tires on your car seem to go a little bit further. And come on. The sanity of your mind seems to stay there, and your home seems to be more blessed. And when we put God first, he takes care of our affairs. And it seems like that we never have no late payments and we never have no bills. In fact, we can be debt free. Amen. When we put God first, it's what God wants, what the Bible wants. Oh, no man, nothing but love. But we scratch and we claw for the things that we think are so important. But God is saying there's one thing that's needful, is to make sure that our souls are right with God. What's the value of your soul this morning? Where do you stand with eternity today? You see, above us is heaven, beneath us is hell. We're in the middle. We're in the middle here. It's called the deciding grounds. We're deciding upon this life, this few days that we have down here, where are we going? You say, Brother Dave, I'm young. I've got plenty of time. I've done funerals of babies. I've seen them like 9 years old, teenagers, right on up to 80. I mean, death is like God. It has no respect to person. Friend, I might not make it back tonight. But if I don't, I know where I'll be. You might not make it back to the service tonight. I'm not talking about just laying out. I'm talking about you might die. Will you know where you be? Hallelujah. See when music? Come on, stand with us. If you need to come and pray, I want you to think about what is a man, what have you benefited by living if you go to hell? When Jesus came and paid a price,